There is a sin unto death, but I do not say that he shall pray for it.
That's true.
But there's some things so bad, you just there's no sense of praying for them over.
Or somebody is so set.
Somebody
in belief that there's no reason to. No way to get them out of it.
All right. You can struggle with that one, but there is no answer to it. Ecclesiastes, chapter whatever we are, 6. No, we're not in 3. 6.
Ecclesiastes.
What?
Rhetorical question.
Had a little edge to it.
Verse 8, we spent all day yesterday in verse 7. Verse 8, what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Better enjoy the sight of whatever is in front of you than the imagination of your wishes. Or, to put it in a Buckner Targum, your sweet ideas. Now, this one is everywhere, but let's just look at a few of them. Go to Philippians 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, carefully think of, or really what it says is carefully reflect on these things. Now, the idea of what is that? You have to come to the conclusion, if you have any integrity here, is that if you think on any of those issues and think of them honestly, you will come to the end and you'll find that only Christ possesses these things. It's not an exhortation for you to think nice thoughts. It's an exhortation to carefully reflect, carefully consider those things that you have described and defined as good or pure or just or honest or holy, or and really consider whether those what you think they are really are those things. And you will come to the end, and you'll find that only he possesses those things. So it's an exhortation not to think nicely and have a nice little smile on your face. And it's an exhortation to push your thinking to the edge of everything. Capisce? What?
I'm just thinking about thinking nice thoughts and smiling.
No. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you. The only thing that Paul did right is he lived by faith. That's the only thing he's exhorting them to do. It was only his faith that he was telling anybody ever to follow. He made fun of everything else. Do you understand that? Let's look and see where he made fun of it. Finally, in verse 3, chapter 3. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, to have no confidence in the flesh doesn't mean that you don't... It's not talking about leg pressing 2,000 pounds. It's confidence in any aspect of that which is conceived and perceived by the senses, and it's primarily your thoughts. You don't, and he says in Romans, you don't owe your mind anything. And until you come to the place where you know you don't owe your emotions and your thoughts any, you don't owe it anything, then you will always be a slave of those things, and you will continue to be double-minded. You might spend a minute or two in the kingdom of light, but then something comes up in your mind, and boom, you leave the mercy seat and return to the kingdom of darkness because you were seduced by your own thoughts, your own worries, your own anxiety. What?
I'm just laughing because it's like getting a telephone call. You know, you might be in the most important meeting of your life, phone rings.
Your phone is off. And
my phone is off, by the way. But it's that type of, oh, I've got to...
Well, what it is really, you've all heard me, most of you have heard me talk about when I was 12 or 10 or something, I would sneak out of the house at night and go downtown in Arizona, in a little town, because that's where the action was, and I didn't want to miss anything. And so I was afraid I was going to miss something. So you got to try to be with the coolest people, or you got to try to be where it's happening now, and you've got to try to be, dressed right and all the other stuff, because you're afraid you'll miss something. Well, that's just so, and so the same thing now. Well, I just want to know, why? Because of your insecurity, because you haven't seen and been apprehended by that which has apprehended you. So you're still acting like this foolish little child. You're running around, I just want to know. Isn't that sweet? I just want to know. I gotta show everyone that I really am somebody. It's like you've all heard the story about this guy in when I was in real little, first grade probably. It was during the war. And every day he'd come and give us a story.
Is that the Great War?
Second World War. World War II, just shut up. Anyway. No, every day he'd come and tell us a story about his dad or whoever it was. I can't remember. But somebody that was in the war that shot down a German plane or that no matter what it is that came up, he had to make up some crap to make himself part of it. Plus the fact that he always wore a tie. He was this little shit, and he was a fat little kid, and he always wore a tie. And I'll never forget him because he represented everything that I despise. This poor little kid that was just trying to get along, just trying to be a friend, just trying to do the right thing. But it's just, don't you know? Consider whom you have dealings with. You're at the first source of all things. How could you possibly have inordinate curiosity? How could you possibly try to push yourself into something? Try to make yourself important. It's because you haven't repented. That's the only reason. You're still acting as a little child. Everybody in the room thinks I'm talking about them now.
I know.
Why do you know?
What?
You know what?
Gary and I went through this last week. It's just, I was doing exactly this, what you're describing. And it was just
absolutely crystal clear.
Anybody understand me?
It really has to do with knowing how big God is. If God is in control, then you don't have to be urgently agitated about anything.
There's nothing that can take you off the mercy seat. There's nothing that can take you from the first source. And so every time that you know, I've had this conversation with several of you, but every time you don't take the lowest seat, then you're denying the mystery of Christ. You're saying, you're so friggin' special that the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough for you, and you have to go do these little psychological games. You're going to try to enhance your self-image. Screw your self-image. It's a lie. Oh, only hurt me. Only hurt my feelings. We're not even where I want to talk about yet. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I... Now, this is the place. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now we're better to enjoy the sight of whatever's in front of him than the imagination of his wishes. Now listen. Not that I speak in respect of want, and that is everything. I cannot want anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I cannot want. Unless he's not your shepherd, then you're going to want shit all the time. Right? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let this one sink in. If you haven't learned it yet, then learn it quickly. You can only be content not by going after the thoughts of your mind or the desires or the templates of your life. You can only be content when repentance is complete. And then all these little things, these little shiny things, the little sweet ideas that come up. Well, boy, that would be nice. Or I'm just trying to be. Then you put the template on your whole life. Oh, I just want to be your friend. I just want a friend. If you want to, whatever you want, give it. But don't give it like this little guy did and try to make up shit. Just be. I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. Can you say that? If you can't, then repentance is the only answer. If you can't repent of it, then you have to go try to do it until you fall on your face some more. What?
That only means something when you're in a state of discontent. When everything around you is great, no challenge there. But when you're
of course. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're a billionaire or you can't make the next car payment or you don't have any money for the food. It doesn't matter. None of you is your business. You've been bought with a price. But as long as you continue to make you your business, then the sacrifice wasn't enough for you. Your pride is holding and keeping you locked in the... It's keeping you locked in the kingdom of darkness. Hey, you going to come to Bible study?
I'm taking this for the bus station.
You can come to Bible study if you want to.
Get a dollar and put him on a bus.
Hey, it's free dark day.
Just put them on a box.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, it's only Him in your emptying that will manifest. I mean, all these other things are this thing going after the thing. I think I need this, or I think I need that, and I need to do this, I need to do that, and I wished I had that, and I didn't wish I didn't have this, and it's never ending. And the only way that this is what he's speaking of here, and the only way to enjoy the sight of whatever's in front of you than the imaginations, is by repentance.
That's a
Kind of
the oddness of
it's not take. You've heard that scripture used 1,000 times when somebody makes up some crap in their mind, and then says, "I can do it because no."
Christ has given me.
Christ who quickens me does all things.
Now, if you're not content in whatever state you're being, you can bet it's not Christ. And content here just doesn't mean like, oh, okay. It just doesn't mean hanging around. It means you content, really content. There's nothing that can move you from the mercy seat. Because He is your life. How can you need something?
If you're not content, you must repent.
Come on. If it doesn't fit.
It leads.
Okay, let's look at another one.
I've seen how close those two were together.
Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is called the Pete chapter. Everybody there? Now, Pete's reading ahead quickly to see why I said that.
Is this having to do with girls?
Let as many servants... chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, that means... that whoever, I don't care if you're, whoever it is that's your boss on a day-to-day basis, that person, you look and see, in your emptying of self, you see them as worthy of all honor, i.e., you see them as Christ Himself. Now, let's go on, okay.
Don't
ask
the feature.
Huh? No. Yeah, Pete wants everybody.
So far, so good.
And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, and supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Now, you got to hear this one. Because supposing that gain is godliness doesn't just apply to Kenneth Copeland or these guys that are jillionaires, because it applies to you who think that you need to gain something, that you need to present a face, you need to do something. No matter what it is, Oh, I just want to know more about God. Then you think that gain is godliness.
You know, if I say to myself, I kind of problem with a stupid ass, I have gained righteousness, and I feel good about my revelation.
Of course.
You've gained some self-righteousness.
Say, yeah. And so it's like, that's a very dangerous place where we tread because we...
Well, that's why we always say that the reason God allowed Copeland or Tilton or Benny Hinn or any of them to come to prominence is so we can see ourselves.
And that's why it's the beat chapter.
Right. Now, Pete knows what I'm talking about. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and are certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Our godliness there is just the right thinking.
Right. It's hasidious. It means just that you see Christ as all and in all. Ungodliness is asibius. Godliness is sibius. All right, one more. Hebrews 13. Just go right a few verses, pages. Verse 5, let your conversation, remember, conversation simply means manner of life. Let your conversation, or your walk, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Now, this idea of contentment is not, the English word doesn't do it justice. It has, as a part of it, it's this thing about glorying in affliction. It's the whole idea is, it's waiting, but waiting with Not waiting for something to happen, or waiting to get something, or waiting to... It's waiting for only His presence. And it's that's the contentment. Knowing that only His presence, only your first love, can fulfill all the heart's desire. Now, and you may have gone through 1,000 childish things. Because you, oh, I love the... I remember the... the thing with Preston Jones, and he was a playwright that was a friend for many years, and it was after I was a new believer, and he loved the Catholic Church, even though he was an atheist, because he liked the drama of the Mass and the. And many people, I feel close to God when I'm out in nature. Or, oh, did you see I was on that sunset and then blah, blah, blah. Well, that's fine, but that's a childish thing. The presence is always with you. The Lord, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He cannot. You can forsake him. And you forsake him by having you as the subject of your sentence. So, I just feel so close to God when I hear John's music. Well, that's great, but why not feel close to God when you're in pain or when everything's going wrong? It does. They're not related. You know, Gary, I feel sorry for Gary this morning. So
it's 2 days in a row.
You know, Harry, he has these situations, and all of us have seen, where there's an emotional thing that just takes him over. And he says, as quoted, use his words, this just comes upon me. And I can't deal with it. I can't talk about it. I can't. Remember yesterday we talked when the molten calf was built by Israel? And they took all of their pressure, they built and fired the molten calf. And then what happened? Aaron engraved it. So we have the molten image and the graven image. The molten image is always justified by the graven. So you have to erase the graven before you can deal with the molten. In other words, you cannot conceive of the possibility that you're right. Now, when this happens to Harry, there's an emotional impact that rises up, and he can't deal with somebody because they're wrong. And you've seen, all of us have seen this, and all of us have done it ourselves. That molten image can't go away until the emotional content of it can't go away until the graven, the writing on it is removed. And the writing is, I'm justified and right in feeling this way because.
That's what happened.
Or the one that gets you, it's this free-floating anxiety. I just feel anxious. It's just an anxiety. Why? Because if you carefully look at that, that's a molten image because it's an emotional content. I promise you, if you carefully look at that, you'll find there's a reason that your mind has written on that molten image, and it's justified in your mind. No matter how much you say you want to get rid of it, you've got a reason for it.
It's like you got to put salt on your foot that's itching.
Right.
That your grandmother told you.
And that's why this the confessing again, whether it's a molten image and it's an emotional content, and or whether it's a graven image or whatever these things are, it's your response to something that you don't like, or something you like, for that matter. They're both idols, and if the idolatry is what will always keep you away from God. That's why some old saints used to say our only function of being alive is to destroy idols.
Those of us that only have graven images have a much more difficult time destroying those. They're never made evident.
Well, they're not made evident to a lot of people. But, your wife knows when you're doing it.
You know that scene in the movie where they're trying to crack a safe and the guy's listening and he hears a tumbler click in place? That just happened to me. Because you just kind of threw away a statement there that said it doesn't matter whether the molten image is a negative thing or a positive thing. That's the other half of my life. That unexplained, can't be touched, crazy, moon-faced bullshit, lovesick.
Now you just described Gary.
It's the same damn thing. And then all kinds of engraving on it. Why? To justify it.
No, Gary. You just described Gary's first love. Oh, I'm pining for the fjords.
Yeah, I'll come see you at the
festival. That's why you pay me the big bucks. Anybody have any response to any of this? Better to enjoy the sight of whatever's in front of him than the imagination. Okay.
When you started on that thing about Aaron, what we recently discovered, I thought you were going to use the Aaron's excuse. I put the door open, out came this calf. I was thinking about that, and I realized that the engravings exist before they're written on the calf. And that's why you think you threw the gold in and the calf just comes out. And I think that, because I'm a lot like Kevin, You know, with a lot of engravings, you know, I think that way sometimes.
You're not at all like Kevin.
Well, I've got a lot of engravings anyway. Otherwise,
I've seen Kevin. You're not Kevin.
You'd like to be like Kevin.
I think I'll just shut up. It's not getting any better.
My idolatry.
You're like Kevin's evil twin.
Yeah, my idolatry is better than yours.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
You only worship my
eyes. That is what it comes down to.
So you take it, Kevin.
Oh, God!
No, don't say it, because it wasn't loud enough for...
Cut that out.
See, Kevin can say anything, and he just cut it out.
Yeah.
The ladies in Florida can't take that one.
Take a big guy.
Probably carry
that up. Oh, man.
Kevin made me do it.
Yeah.